nothing really quite like the start of a new year, right? You've got just all the hopes of ending all of the bad habits, all of the hopes of starting the new habits, and kind of this whole sort of landscape, this whole horizon in front of us as we look at 2017, and so many possibilities and so many new exciting things that could happen. There's an annual poll that comes out, talks about the resolutions, the best resolution. They survey, a number of people, Americans here in the United States, talking about the resolutions. And so here are the top five, or I think it's six, top six resolutions for 2017. Number one, being a better person. Don't know exactly what that means, but being a better person. That knocked usually in the first place, the first spot, since 2014. Can you guess what up till that point, the number one resolution was? Yeah, right? Losing weight. Number one, being a better person. Number two, exercising more, weight loss. Those tied for second. Spending less money and saving more. Improving one's health and eating healthier. There was lots of all sorts of interesting things that I was able to find through this. So women were more likely to mention being a better person as a resolution than men. Among men, being a better person tied with exercising more. Maybe we think that somehow they're the same. When you look at and you break down the demographics of age, Americans who are 45 years of age or older are more likely than younger Americans to resolve to be a better person. Among those who are 30 and under, being a better person actually edged out exercising more. And those who kind of are in between 30 to 44 years old, spending less and saving more was the top resolution. Here in the Midwest, that's where we are if you're from here or visiting. Here in the Midwest, there were two that tied for the top resolutions, being a better person and losing weight. I one of the things that I was encouraged by, tomorrow happens to be my birthday, and I turned 38 years old, and I try not to think about it too much. The thing that I was encouraged by as I read this was that younger Americans, and then it went on to say that that was 45 years and under, so I was like, yes, I still got a little while to be, at least in this survey, to be considered a younger American. Younger Americans are more likely than olders to do a couple things, to make New Year's resolutions. So the survey suggests that 51% of individuals who are under 45 said, I'm going to try to resolve to do something. And then that percentage kind of gradually got a little bit smaller as age got a little bit higher. Maybe there's just the wisdom of learning those kind of things. 55% of those who are under 30 years old said that they would, in fact, make a resolution. More men, compared with women, it says, kept their 2016 resolution. 75% of men surveyed in this survey said that, compared to 62% of women. Now remember that women were more likely to put as their resolution, be a better person, which I'm guessing based on this that we're, as men, we're just more comfortable with lying. So that jumped, according to the survey, that jumped from 65% last year of men who said they kept their resolutions to 75%. So that's, I thought that was kind of interesting. There are a lot of things that were interesting about this. And that when I think about these top resolutions, being a better person, exercising more, weight loss, spending less, saving more money, improving one's health, eating better, all of these things I think are good. But what was in particular interesting to me was two things. One, that these are all about me. All of these resolutions, at least the top six I mentioned, were all about me. My health, my money, me being a better person, whatever that means or however that shapes out to be, what that looks like. And none of them explicitly were about bettering anyone else around me or my community. I thought that was sort of Interesting. And I don't think it's so much that resolutions are bad. I don't. I don't think that they're bad. I just wonder if they're simply not sustainable. And so on this first day of a new year, and with all of the excitement and all of the hope and all of the potential that comes into what is in front of us, and the goals and the resolutions that you make. Again, I'm not saying that having goals are a bad thing, or striving to be kinder or more generous or healthier. Those are good things. I think it's just that when I think about it, that resolutions rely on resolve, which means that it's on me. And I wonder how sustainable resolutions really are. I mean, what if this year, instead of, you know, maybe we were able to do a little bit more, maybe we were able to try a little bit harder, maybe we were able to get a little bit thinner or a little bit smarter, maybe a little more kinder until about mid-February? What if this year we tried something different? Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "So be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What if we looked at 2017? What if we thought about it? What if we approached it on this first day of a new year? What if we approached it and thought about it a little bit differently? What would it look like to be transformed by the renewing of our minds? It's there in that transformation. It's there where our character is formed and shaped and it's changed. Our affections, our dispositions, our aspirations. What would it look like to look at 2017 with a mind that has been transformed and renewed? If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 15. And I think you'll see the words on the screen. We've had some technical difficulties. Oh, you can kind of see the words there behind some New Year. Oh, nice work. Welcome to 2017, right? I promise it'll be better than Mariah Carey was. I had to. John chapter 15. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you could just Google like Mariah Carey 2016 ball drop or whatever last night. Oh man, feel sorry. John chapter 15. I never thought Mariah Carey was going to make it into the sermon. I promise you, that was not in my notes. John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. This is Jesus talking. And we've just heard, now I got to remind you, right? Because now we're like, Mariah Carey, oh. We're reminded of Paul's words when he says, so be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it look like to move into 2017 with a different mindset, perhaps? Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Verse 2. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine," verse 5, "and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." We are not the vine. Our resolve is not the vine. Our discipline is not the vine. Our strength is not the vine. And thank God, because all of those things wither. And so if we were to take a different approach to 2017, because our minds have been renewed and transformed, that now all of a sudden our goals, our dreams, our aspirations, and somehow they start to get in line with who the true vine is. I am the vine, Jesus says. You guys, we're the branches. A branch apart from the vine is worthless. What does that look like as we move into 2017? Perhaps instead of trying to convince ourselves of our self-confidence, what if we found ourselves instead focusing on the things that really truly matter? What if in this new year, 2017, day one of a new year, what if we found ourselves being dependent upon God's faithfulness, his grace, and his mercy, instead of my own resolve, instead of my own discipline? What if we realize that it's not about us? And instead, in this new year, thinking in this new way, that we might be willing to submit our hopes, our dreams, even our entire selves to the one who is able to save us and sustain us. It seems to me, when I read this passage that Jesus speaking in John's Gospel of chapter 15, it seems as though the possibilities there are endless. The possibilities of my own resolve and my own discipline certainly have an end, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing again another year later. And Jesus says, when you remain in me, not just that you can bear much fruit, but you will bear much fruit. What an exciting promise and proposition as we look into this new year. And I believe this morning that as we come on this first day of a new year, as we come to celebrate communion, what an exciting, I think, opportunity to be together and a way to launch into a new year. As we think about and are reminded of this covenant that God has entered into with us. I mean, the God who promises new life in Christ. The one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who is the true vine. The one who can change and transform our minds. That God would have this covenant with us through his Son, who every day proves his goodness and his grace, showing that he is not only willing, but that he is capable. I mean, one of the things I would think, right, that maybe perhaps the main thing that we get excited about a new year is just a fresh start. How many of us needed to see 2016 go and needed to wake up to the possibility even of a fresh start? And this covenant that God has entered into with us is this promise that through his Son, that can be a daily thing for you and for me. The promise of life and being made new, that he is not only willing, but capable as he saves us and sustains us. Now, on the other side of this covenant, because a covenant is between two parties, right? Perhaps in this case, two individuals, between God and between us. On the other side of that is us, is you and me. And we stand as those who maybe perhaps into this new year, maybe you would be, as you think about what does it look like to approach this new year in perhaps a different way, maybe that for you is standing on the other side of this covenant with God saying, okay, God, here I am. I'm going to promise you me. God, all I have to give you is this. With all of its mess and all of its drama and all of its baggage and all of its issues, and yet all I can bring you is this. And I'm gonna make this promise to you on this first day of a new year, God, that as a part of this covenant, I am gonna strive to just submit myself to you. I'm gonna try to die to self that I might live in Christ. And that my hopes and dreams and aspirations are going to be those of yours. Because I'm hoping and I'm trying to have my mind be transformed and renewed. And so as we prepare to celebrate the sacrament of communion, we are reminded that it is in fact a celebration of this fact, of this covenant that God has made with us, that he is able to save us and sustain us. And as we, on this first day of 2017, are those who seek to live as true disciples of Christ, and yet sometimes we fall short, that we now come and prepare and to celebrate the sacrament, to spend some time examining ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we don't deceive ourselves or try to pull ourselves away from the one who is the true vine, thinking that somehow this year I can do it myself. I've got this. But rather we can come on this first day of a new year and say, there's no way. There's no way that I can do this without you, God. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would, to enter into this time of prayer as we prepare to celebrate this incredible covenant that God has entered into with us. Let us pray. Father God, you have set forth the way of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you love dearly. And we confess that we have been slow to learn of him and have been reluctant to follow. You have spoken and called to us, but we have not listened. You have revealed your beauty to us, but we have been blind. You've stretched out your hands to us through our friends, but we have passed them by. We have accepted your gifts and offered little thanks. We recognize that we are unworthy of your unchanging, unconditional, faithful love. And so we confess to you our sins. Please forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our inconsistency and unbelief. Forgive us for the ways that we have neglected fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about you. Forgive us when we waste time and when we misuse the gifts that you've given us. Forgive us for when we have made excuses for the wrong things that we've done. We have purposely avoided responsibility. Lord, forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good, and that we have not been ready to carry our cross. Forgive us that we have not allowed your love to work through us to help others, and that we have not made their suffering our own. Forgive us for those times when instead of working for unity, that we've made it hard for others to live with us because of our lack of forgiveness, our inconsiderate judgment, and our quick criticism. Forgive us for when we have not tried to reconcile with others and when we have been slow to seek redemption. Lord, forgive us also for these sins that we silently confess to you now. God, we give you thanks that you are a Father of all mercies, that you are faithful to cleanse us from our sins and restore us into the image of your Son. And so we give praise and glory to you through your Son, who on the very night that he was there with his disciples in the upper room, the very same night that one of them would betray him, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he said, "This is my body which has been broken for you so that you might be made new. Take and eat and remember." And in a similar way, he took a cup, he gave thanks, and he said, "This cup is the cup of my blood of a new covenant which washes your sins away. Take and drink and celebrate the newness that is found through Christ." Lord, we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup, and we ask that they might become for us a means of your grace. We're thankful that you invite us to your table. We're thankful that your love is never failing, that your mercies are new every morning, and that your grace knows no end. And so we pray that you would help us to be broken and poured out for the world and for our community around us. We give you thanks for the covenant that you are willing to enter into with us. And your promise of being made new.